Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Now you're listening to a brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio. This is your host, Danny. And this week, we're going to have a short show due to a lot of things have been going on. You know, especially the holidays is coming up too over the weekend. And next week, I have to travel to Memphis, Tennessee. St. Jude's inviting me to their summit that is called St. Jude's Play It Live. I'm planning to have recordings from the summit, and there's going to be a lot of interviews with Twitch streamers and people that are involved with this Play Live. So stay tuned. More details coming next week. But yes, I'm going to Memphis, Tennessee for the first time. So any listeners out there, if you live around that location, Memphis, Tennessee, hit me up, danny@gamertagradio.com. Hopefully we could get together, do another GTR meetup. I like doing that. And so let me know as soon as possible, right?
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
We're going to continue with our Red Storm Entertainment podcast series that we recorded months ago. We have a lot. That hasn't been released yet, and we're going to release it here on a podcast, exclusive podcast interview. This time we have Travis Goetz. He's going to be talking about the authenticity of weapons and so on from Tom Clancy Games, and it was a great conversation. All right, so now we're going to play the interview with Travis Goetz. We recorded this at Red Storm Entertainment a couple months ago. Hope you like this interview. And we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
This is a Gamertag Radio exclusive.
My name is Travis Goetz. I am the Authenticity Coordinator for Tactical Elements for Ubisoft Authenticity.
Thank you, Travis. So your title is Authenticity Coordinator. And for our audience, can you please elaborate and define your role at Red Storm?
My role is, I'm based out of Red Storm, and this is where I've worked for 2 decades now. For Ubisoft Authenticity, I actually serve all Ubisoft employees around the world. And so any needs that they have related to reference or approval for any tactical element, be it character equipment, military vehicles, or firearms, even knives and things like that, those come through myself or Ubisoft Legal, and we work together in conjunction to get those taken care of.
So can you talk about the general process for authenticity across Ubisoft titles? And
sure, yeah. Authenticity is a tool at Ubisoft. We're creating entertainment products, but we want them to have a certain level of realism to them. But that realism can't go too far. And so it needs to essentially serve the needs of the team to create something that's fun. You can think of it sometimes like if we were working on driving games, the cars would be a very principal part of the game and the development of the project, because that's how the player is interacting with the world and their vehicle for getting things done. It's the same way with particularly the weapons, but sometimes also vehicles and things of that nature. And as we're getting into games that allow configuration of equipment and things like that, that's actually those individual pieces of gear become a gameplay element. So Ubisoft Authenticity's job is to work with real-life partners in the tactical industry and very well-placed authenticity advisors to get our teams the very best reference imagery for that and information about how things function. That's not just related to things like the actual feel of something firing or driving, but also the sound. So we will work with real life military units or with real life individuals with weapon collections and things like that, to record these to make sure that the player is getting the most realistic package for their fun gameplay experience.
In particular, since we're, you know, at Red Storm and there's been a lot of like Tom Clancy titles, et cetera, how important is weapons authenticity to a title that, you know, as important as like, let's say, you know, Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon, The Division, et cetera?
Sure. Yeah. I take it back to the vehicle question again, that parallel between car games or driving games and weapon games is a real thing. When you are playing a shooter, you are interacting, that firearm is your tool for interacting with other characters, and it's the main way you get things done in the game. So it's a very important part of the job for Ubisoft teams to do everything they can to get that right. Furthermore, just like you have a lot of people that drive cars, there's 80 million firearms owners in the U.S. alone. That's just in the United States. And that doesn't include airsoft and enthusiasts and people that have never owned a weapon but are very familiar with them through movies or online research or whatever. So you have a very educated populace that is playing these games. And when teams get things wrong, people notice. I'll say another big push at Ubisoft, and part of this is frankly because it's something that I've pushed on for many years, but it's also becoming a trend on a larger aspect within the games industry, is firearm safety. So this is extremely important to me. A family that I knew growing up lost a son due to poor firearms handling. And so every time that we can get that right, even just a little bit in like our marketing images or the way the characters behave in the games, we are influencing the way that not just young people, but adults as well think about how they handle these weapons. So things like keeping it pointing in a safe direction, keeping your finger off the trigger until you're ready to fire, all these kind of things. They're very simple. They can be implemented fairly easily in our, say, our marketing art or key art. But they can have a great positive influence on society in general. So that's another thing that I really push for.
Throughout your career, you've coordinated approval and access to thousands of various weapons, vehicles, and other military gear. What are some of your favorites and why, whether they be real or fictional?
Right. So there's the real or the fictional aspect. And the fictional aspect for me is one of the most fun, because we will work with real life authenticity advisors to create either firearms or vehicles that feel completely authentic. And the best is when someone sees that element and they assume it's the real thing. So for example, we have an aircraft called the CV-32 Night Eagle. And we worked closely with the U.S. Navy's Air Warfare Public Affairs Office, and they literally got us subject matter experts about tilt rotor aircraft to help ours be as realistic as possible without offending the actual trademark holders for the real life, you know, military aircraft system. And when people will see that, they will say, "Oh, that's a V-22," but it's actually not. You know, it's our own creation. And when you do that, the beauty of it is, you are creating a tool that teams can use that fits their exact needs. So they can make it a little bit bigger than the real thing. So they can put a vehicle in the back. They can have a medical bay in it that never existed in real life. It's those kinds of capabilities that authenticity brings, where you can create something that is not real, but is a great tool for the team, that brings me, frankly, the most satisfaction.
Now, when you talk about weapons, like you're bringing up something that isn't real, so you can go nuts. You can do whatever you want, mm-hmm. and make it a fun part of the game. Mm-hmm. But then when we start to look at, and you brought up the example of like movies or TV shows before, they don't care. So, hey, if it looks good in the movie and the hero looks great, then that's great for the movie. But when we think about a game, like even more specifically a Tom Clancy game, where you're pushing realism of the weapons and the vehicles, is there ever a fine line where if we make the gun as realistic as it should be, it's not going to be fun to play with in the game? Does that discussion ever happen? What's the balance with that?
That does happen. And one of the things that, so the way that process might work, say you're recording a certain firearm. When we record those firearms, we generally take a Ubisoft sound team. Sometimes it'll even be a combination of different sound teams or different studios that are coming together going to a location where a lot of these weapons exist and recording them. When we record them, we will record from, they'll have like 12 different microphones set up. So each of those microphones is getting a realistic version of the weapon sound, but they're all different because one is going to have more bass. One is going to have more echo off background structures and things like this. The game developer's job, specifically the sound team, is to sculpt a personality for each weapon that that they feel is going to make that weapon the most fun in the game. So you're using realistic elements, but you're able to sculpt them to give, say, a medium machine gun a little bit more bass than the light machine gun so that it feels like it's a little bit heavier and more powerful and things like that. We've had authenticity advisors, and that's another part of the sort of secret sauce is having them come to the studio as much as possible, because each time one of them visits, they always drop one little observation or one little piece of advice or even just some encouragement that really ends up meaning a lot to the team. But I mean, when they sit down with our sound team and they're just kind of going through the weapons, they're like, I know exactly what that is. I know what that is. We had one guy that was coming through. The team here at Red Storm was working on a call and response system for a game so that when the characters on your team would say something, another guy would react, but they would be reacting to things that were happening live in the game. And they played a prototype for this for one of our special operations advisors. And he's huge. So he's already a little bit intimidating. But as they're playing this, he's just completely still. There's no reaction. He's not nodding his head, anything. And then he goes, stop it for a second. And we're like, okay. So Justin, the sound guy, stops it. And the advisor, John, is like, he's like, my hair is standing up right now. This feels completely realistic, you know. And when you nail it with someone like that, it sort of has a good gravitas to it, you know. Another example of that sort of realism versus Hollywood thing is the sound of suppressed weapons. So a lot of suppressed weapons in Hollywood movies will have that laser sound. Mm-hmm. It started in the James Bond thing, and that was them trying to give that suppressed weapon a personality that made it seem really cool. You're starting to see now, as actual sound designers are getting exposure to the real life weapons, that they are replicating what an actual suppressed weapon sounds like. Now, again, they might sweeten it. They might give it a little more personality one way or the other, but they're basing it in that real life sound. And that's a good thing because you start to realize that suppressed weapons don't actually like completely take out every sound. You're still hearing the function of the weapon, even on the quietest firearms. So,
now earlier we got a chance to speak with Steve, and he kind of went through the history of Red Storm as a studio and just everything that's been involved with it over the past couple of decades. I asked him this question, so I'm going to ask you the same thing. When you think of a game, what makes a game a Tom Clancy game?
It should come as no surprise to you that I think that's the authenticity that makes a Tom Clancy game a Tom Clancy game. Because those little bits of research and applying them to the books is what made the Tom Clancy books different from all the other military fiction out there, was that he talked to advisors, he talked to the companies involved when he could, and really sculpted a fiction that was very much based in reality. You knew that he had gone and sort of experienced, maybe not experienced the actual missions and things like that, but at least talked to people that had done it for real. And so his retelling or his creating of these stories had that feeling of, it was in that wrapper of realism. And I think that's what we bring. You know, if you've got a weapon and it doesn't have an aiming device on it, you know, or if it's a sniper rifle and it has an aiming device that's made to shoot within 100 meters or whatever, it doesn't fit, and it breaks it for people that know. And it would be like, you know, having a car game and you introduced a new car and it didn't have a steering wheel. Like someone who didn't know that much about cars might not pick up on that. They'd only seen them from the outside driving down the road. But someone who's ever driven a car will know, like, that's, you have to have that. It's integral to how the thing works, you know. And so we work really hard to try and have all those important pieces there so that not just the mainstream audience, but also the more discerning and frankly harder to win audience is feeling a connection with the game and is not pulled out of the fantasy.
Okay. So keeping it going. How long have you been at Red Storm?
By 20 years.
You've been here 20 years.
Yeah, last September was 20 years.
Wow. So you've definitely seen it all. So following along those lines, what's one of your more memorable moments in the past 20 years working at Red Storm? Well, what's one of your more memorable moments?
So my first day at Red Storm, Tom Clancy was in the office. In fact, it was the release day for Rainbow Six. And most people don't know this, but the book and the game were developed concurrently at the same time and released on the same day. So here I am, first day at work, Tom Clancy rolls in. Everybody's got their first editions of Rainbow Six that he's signing. You know, he's signing boxes and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, wow, like no one could have told me. Like I could have gone to like Barnes & Noble and bought a bunch of these, you know. But that was really cool. I have to say, some of my most cherished memories are just the interactions that I have with people just kind of in the break room and stuff. One of the beautiful things about Red Storm is the family atmosphere that's here. And when you work for 20 years with a lot of the same people, you see them go through things or whatever, and just seeing Red Storm be a place where they feel safe, you know, and they feel like they have friends that they can be open with, but at the same time be very professional with and all that kind of thing. It's really that's one of my greatest joys of it. And it's part of, you know, the Getz family, you know what I mean? The people that are here, you know, they hear me talk about them all the time or whatever. They see them at the family picnic. And that's a really neat aspect of it for me.
Travis, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Again, I've been playing Tom Clancy Red Storm games, you know, for well over 20 years. And this has been a treat to be able to come to the studio and get to meet you and everyone on the team. This has been amazing.
Yeah, sure. My pleasure. Thanks for being a fan.
Thank you.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're done here. Gamertag Radio, brand new episode here at GTR. Thank you for listening, and hopefully we'll be back next week. Hopefully. We'll see. There's a lot of things going on. But we'll be back. And we're planning to have more content for you. And I'm planning to travel to Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to be there for a couple of days for St. Jude's Play Live Summit. It's an honor. I'm very excited that you know, St. Jude's invited me to cover this event for the podcast. And this is something new to them because they've never worked with a podcast before. So I can't wait to just get as much content from there and just talk to the content creators that are going to be at the event, man. So, and that's about it. I can't wait for next week. And remember, hit me up. Follow me if you have Instagram or Twitter. Just look up Godfrey. I'm there. Follow me there. I'm definitely going to be posting updates from the event. All right. Until next time, I'm out. Take care. Bye.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.